Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Thursday, June 25th. Today, we're reading from the Big Book and we are studying page 47, the third paragraph, beginning with, "That was great news to us," through one paragraph ending, "We could commence at a simpler level." Today's readers are Debbie P. for the 12 Steps, Wendy M. for the 12 Traditions, Shelley E. will read and comment on our text, and Vanessa G. will read page 164. Chanel T. is our newcomer greeter for today, and Leslie M. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for this for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 23577. That's 23577. And the reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for June 25th is 23580. That's 23580. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 steps of OA to us.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. I live in South Florida. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Hello?
Thank you very much. Yes.
Sorry, I'm like, can I read all that? Okay.
Thank you so much. I will now ask Wendy M. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks, Elaine, for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 47, the third paragraph, which begins, "That was great news to us," and commence on a simpler level. And I will now ask Shelley E. to please begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. Excuse me, I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 47. That was great news to us, for we had assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we accepted many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. When people presented us with spiritual approaches, how frequently did we all say, "I wish I had what that man has. I'm sure it would work if I could only believe as he believes. But I cannot accept as surely true the many articles of faith which are so plain to him." So it was comforting to learn that we could commence at a simpler level. I'm so sorry. I'm frogging my throat. And here we are. We're starting step 2. It started with our paragraph ahead, above, and the great news is, are we just willing to believe? We're starting with putting the cornerstone in place. Are we? We don't have to believe. It's not asking us to believe in God. It's not asking us even yet to get our own conception of God. It's just asking us to believe that there's something bigger than ourselves. And I know when I came in the rooms, even that was a big ask, even though I felt like I had a pretty good base with my higher power. I admitting that there was more at force than myself, I was pretty self-absorbed. I know in my Big Book, I have a lot written in the margins of this, and I have, we don't try to figure out God. It will all come to us. It's an unfolding, you know? So this is telling us that, yeah, so-and-so and so-and-so, wow, they're really along the road and they're doing great. How come I don't have those same beliefs? Well, you know, we have to give it time. We have to just dip our toe in, start realizing that there is something greater than ourselves. If it's just the wind, if it's just the waves, no matter what it is, they're just asking us to believe that we are not the be-all and the end-all of the world. And that right there is a big thing. And also, I have written that we don't need to wait to practice giving. And when I read that, earlier today, I thought that's probably why the original program has people setting up chairs and making coffee. And, you know, we start simply just realizing that we can do things for others, because as we know, this is a giving program along with our higher power and our spiritual experience. So, this is just, I think this paragraph is just saying, hey, it's all right. We're going to get there. And you don't have to have the same belief as someone else. There's room for anyone's idea of a higher power. Let's just start. Just put that first forward. And I know for myself, when I first read these words, that was kind of a big deal, just getting out of self. Looking forward instead of inward. And so I'll just pass the bat. I think that it's just words of encouragement to just, we don't have to figure out God. We don't even have to believe in God. We just have to believe there is something more than ourselves, bigger than ourselves at work in the universe. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share, guys.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. Appreciate your share. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple meetings and you would like to comment on page 47, the third paragraph, please, star one to unmute, let us know, we'll take a lineup.
Anne B., New York.
Anne B., New York. Thanks for letting me know where you're calling from. That's helpful. Who'd like to share after Anne B.?
D.L. from Indiana.
D.L.
Rebecca N., California.
Rebecca N. Anybody else in this lineup?
Larry G., California.
Larry G., California. Well, let's start with Anne B., D.L., Rebecca M., and Larry G. Anne B., please share with us. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Anne B., compulsive overeater, New York. Don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 21 years. I often come into OA meetings and really feel alienated because I feel like I'm the only person who came in who totally accepted the idea of a higher power to start with. I've been a member of a religious group for a long time. And I also had done natural childbirth at a time when I was really spiritually fit, and I had a strong sensation that my spirituality really helped me with natural childbirth, that I had some access to and control of the labor process through a spiritual experience. And so I had a strong conviction that spirituality could help me with improving control of what seemed like an involuntary process, and eating seemed like an involuntary process. And I guess for me, I've come to realize I don't have a strong true-false binary in my head the way a lot of people do. It's never the idea that God exists and doesn't exist can coexist comfortably in my brain at the same time. And I don't even know that the physiological effect of prayer and meditation on my body necessarily has anything to do with an external God. It might just be an interesting neurological phenomenon. It might just be that I've learned how to do something in my brain that is helpful. And it really doesn't matter to me whether it's an external God or whether it's an internal neurological process. There's a saying in program, utilize, don't analyze. And to me, that's really significant. It's like, it doesn't matter whether there's an external God or not. It doesn't matter whether this is just an interesting neurological phenomenon. It works. When I pray, the cravings go away. When I meditate, when I have a sense of true contemplation and neutrality, the cravings go away, the desire to eat goes away. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know if there's a God or not. And the OA 12 and 12, which we don't talk about so much here, talks about putting aside theological questions. Time? Okay, so let me just finish up the, and whether God exists or not, to me, is a theological question. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ann B. D.L. from Indiana, you're up next, followed by Rebecca M.
This is D.L. And, you know, when I first came into the program, I wanted what the people had. And I could see it because back then it was, I went face to face and they said, well, do what we do. And I thought, okay. I had really always been a woman of faith, but I just didn't really think I should bother God with this weight because, you know, I was the one putting the food in my mouth. And they said, no, this is a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. And they were telling me, you know, that I had to believe that a higher power could really help me with this food issue, being a compulsive overeater, because I knew that I couldn't do it by myself. And I saw that they were doing it, and they had been doing it, and they had success. And so, you know, I really think that, make use of their the spiritual principles, which are, you know, our 12 steps. I just really, I took it on faith. You know, I didn't really know if it would work, but I knew it worked for them, so I was going to give it a try. And I think, you know, we as individuals, I can only speak for myself, I try to make things more complicated than they have to be. And so, you know, step in with faith and give yourself a chance to really be the miracle that we see happening all the time among our members. And that's, thank you for letting me share and for everyone that does service. This is DL from Indiana, and I pass.
Thank you so much, DL. Rebecca M. in California, you're up next, followed by Larry G. Please share with us.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Thank you for everyone doing service on the line and for everyone that makes this meeting happen. Truly has transformed my recovery and brought the book alive for me. I'm Rebecca M. in California, compulsive eater. And living in a little bit of fear this morning, so best way to move through that fear is to claim my seat and speak up. And I've been thinking all week, oh, I'll share tomorrow, and wait for the best paragraph. And that's a defect I'm working on, perfectionism. So I've been praying for God to grant me this strength. And I'm glad I did today, and this paragraph really speaks to me. I grew up in Catholic Ireland, and it just seemed so difficult for me to understand growing up. So I didn't have a faith. I didn't have a God in my life until I came into program, and just hearing people saying that I could start at a simple level really did help. And you know, for me, it was just like getting down on my knees in the morning and just thanking God and also asking, like, please keep me sober or please keep me abstinent today. And starting simple is just like the please and thank yous. And so I did that every morning, every night, and pray before I eat, and that still stands to me today. I keep dreaming. I keep having a dream that I'm picking up the food, and then it feels real, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank God. And I do believe those dreams they're protecting me, because it's like I'm actually going through those emotions when I'm asleep and I don't want to pick up the food. I have a big move coming up soon. I'm moving back to Ireland from California. So God wants me to stay really close to this program and close to my fellows and lean into fear and doing things that, you know, that my disease doesn't want me to do, like speak today. This is a we program for me. It's we agnostics. It's not I agnostics. and so today I want what I have, but, you know, I also want what other people have in this program too. I always wanted to be somebody else, you know, but the more I recover, the more I'm becoming the woman I was always supposed to be. And that is grateful, and that is, you know, connected with my higher power that was always there, just blocked by the food. And today I can say that this program really does work, and it does get better the more I work the steps. And now I remember it's a wee program. Okay, I'll leave it there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rebecca M. Larry C., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup. Please share with us, Larry.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I'm Larry G. I'm from California. Welcome to the new people. I hope you hear something that will keep you coming back. If you're here with us at 7 a.m. in the morning, it's probably a good reason. I have never been an agnostic, nor have I never had a problem with challenging and believing in a power greater myself. Fortunately for me, I went to a K through 12 big box religious school, and I fell in love with that God, and prayed for many years until I started practicing alcoholism. And then when I started drinking, it took me another 8 to 10 years to really get back to developing a whole new understanding of a power that I completely misunderstand. So I've never had an issue with that. What I've had an issue with is self. The problem I have is the belief in self, the belief in my own fragile self-will that I can figure shit out. And I have figured stuff out in the past, but the track record isn't very good. And so I'm going through something right now that is, it's fundamental in this program. And that is refraining from eating volume, which I have. And also trusting my plan of eating, which I don't. I don't trust my plan of eating. I don't trust there's enough food there. I don't trust there's enough food whether I am abstinent or not. I don't trust there's enough food whether I have the most robust food plan in the world. I don't trust if there's enough food. Period. And that's myself. That's my ego. See, my ego, your ego, my disease, your disease, wants us dead. It's fighting like hell to keep us into this crazy disease. And what it's keeping me from is reminding me that I am part of the divine fabric of God, just like you are. We're all a part of this divine cloth of God, and our egos, our disease, is keeping us from that. It's fighting like hell to keep us from that. And I'm so grateful to be part of A Vision for You. And I'll tell you why. A Vision for You, Cornwall, Scottsdale, Arizona group, the big book study groups on the East Coast got started out there. This is the renaissance, I think, of OA. This is the vanguard of OA, because I have never in my entire time in OA ever been, what's the word, supported for a black and white absence. Never. I never was supported to reduce amount of volume or eat my comfort foods, not eat my comfort foods. This is the first time in 26 years of being part of OA, and now I've been a Vision for You member for 6 years, that I have a chance. I have this opportunity of a lifetime for black and white abstinence. And what does that mean to me? It means no alcoholic foods, volume, or change my food plan unilaterally. And with that, I pass back to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Okay. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment on page 47, the third paragraph, which begins with, "That was great news, Seth," and ending with, "We could commence at a simpler level." Please give me your name and where you're calling from, and we'll take another lineup.
Joy M.B., California.
Okay.
Diane M.C., Chicago.
I heard Joy M.B. and Diane
Judy MC, from California.
Judy from California. And Judy, first initial of your last name?
I.
Judy I. Okay, and I'm going to double back here and ask Joy M.B. where she's calling from.
California.
California. And Diane M.C., is it? Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Chicago. Okay, Illinois. And we have time for a couple more shares. Does anybody else want to, or maybe one or two more shares? Anybody else want to get in the fun?
Susan C.
Susan
C. From
Susan
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. And okay, let's leave it at this. We may have time for one more share after that. Okay, so I've got Joy M.B., Diane M.C., Judy T., and Susan C. So, Joy, please share with us, and Diane will follow you.
May I be heard?
You may be heard. And actually,
thank
if you're
you
not,
so
Joy, please press star 1 to mute your line. Thank you very much. Please share
thank
with us,
everybody for your service this morning. Thank you as the moderator. I appreciate it. I'm Joy M.B. I'm from California, Northern California, and I am definitely a food addict in recovery, with the help of my fellows and visions and, of course, my higher power. I have had a God since I've had a breath in me because my family was so religious. But at the same time they were dragging me to church 4 times a week, they were also fighting. My parents fought religiously, physically, mentally, and every way that you can think of. And I remember being 5 years old and knowing there's something wrong with me because my mother said to me, she picked up my baby brother, and I said, I put my arms up, pick me up. And she said, you're too fat. I can't pick you up. I fought this battle 75 years, a long time. Every OA meeting in San Francisco and everything you can imagine. And I've had a God. But in some sense, not, because that God was a punishing God. And when I was 5, I got a calendar, and I hung it on the doorknob. That's how little I was. And on it, I realized that if I had one good day, in exchange for one good day, I had to serve 5 really bad days when folks were fighting around me and adults were crass and things were going on. And I was being forced to study, or my mother was an intellectual who was totally into, here's a book, read it now, tell me what it says later, when I was 5 and 6. And so I really, really didn't understand until I came in to Visions and got the right sponsor, the first two sped me through the steps with great volume, but the third one took me through at a rate that she insisted I read the 12x12 and everything until I got a concept of my God, my higher power, that loves me, serves me, takes care of me, and certainly is interested in what I put in my body. Because my old God, the one I had before, didn't care, and I didn't want to bother him with that. So I went through a lifetime praying to food, as one of our members puts it, being food's bitch. And so for the understanding that my higher power communicates with me momentarily, that I can ask for things and pray for things, that I am loved, and that there is some care about what I put in my mouth, because that's the body I was given to function on earth with, is a realization that I'm so grateful for. And for all of you here in Visions, that helped me come to that. I am very, very grateful. Please be blessed and have an abstinent day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy M.B. Diane M.C., you're up next. Please share with us.
Thank you. Again, this is Diane M.C., recovered compulsive eater in Chicagoland. I was struck by just the first few words. That was great news to us. Us? Who's the us? Well, these are people that are not abstinent yet, do not have sobriety, and they're already gaining something in the program, a new way of looking at something, and they're given hope, and they've just begun the process. You know, they're still in their disease, and yet they're already given a gift. How cool is that? And then I was, you know, just reminded of, so I carry that great news, and I sometimes forget that I have good news. I mean, it's been 9 years for me of where that monkey is off my back, where I do have neutrality. 9 years. Yet I put in 33 years in this program, slipping and sliding, pretty much, or not even realizing I was slipping and sliding off, and just surrounding myself with folks who thought the same way I did. Well, we're bound to fall. You just, you know, have a slip, and that's just part of recovery. That's part of recovery. That's the message that I got, and I surrounded myself with people like that. So 33 years until I finally got that gift, took total surrender. I just never was surrendered before then. But so I've got quite a story. And do I remember that I've got a wonderful story, great news to share to others. You know, I just pray, you know, as I was reading it, I just was praying just to have that stirred up in me, that excitement to want to share with us. I do a lot of service. But there are a lot of hope broken people out there. And may I have the eyes to see and the willingness to share today. That's what my higher power is saying to me, to be open. So we do have good news for those of us where that monkey's off our back.
Thank you, Diane M.C. Appreciate your share. Okay, Judy T. in California is up next, followed by Susan C. Please share with us, Judy.
Hi, I'm Judy from Petaluma, California. Thanks for everybody doing service on this meeting this morning. I was raised in a family of Holocaust survivors. I was raised Orthodox Jewish. Even back then, I used to ask, what's God, what's God? And I never really got an answer that felt real to me. And today I'm not religious, but I still have a real questioning. But in program, I learned that I don't have to have an answer to that question in order to work the steps. All I have to understand for me is that it's something that's not me, something that's greater than me. I just looked up the definition of spiritual, and it talks about, you know, relating to the part of the person that's mind, emotion, soul, and doesn't say you have to follow certain tenets or do certain things. It just is a dimension of a person that wants to get to know oneself and the universe, and it's not me. And for the purposes of being a compulsive overeater and working these steps, I just need to know that I'm not in charge anymore. I never could be in charge of my food. I never ate like a lady. I just am a machine, an eating machine, and the only thing that helps me is something that's not me. Sometimes it's the group, sometimes it's nature, I don't know. But, I don't have to get hung up on this anymore. And that every day I just try to find a way to be connected spiritually so that I can work my program the best I can today. All right. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for your share, Judy I. Susan C., please share with us.
Hi, this is Susan C. from Pennsylvania. And as I was growing up, we went to services and we were observing, and I loved it. I loved it. And then they sent me to go to like religious school. I loved it. I don't know. I just found like a peace there. And then later on, I guess I had like a fear certain to my higher power, like there was some kind of fear. And then after I had children, I kind of disconnected. I was so busy. Although I tried to, you know, encourage them still, you know, we would go for holidays, services, that kind of thing. It wasn't until I was like beaten down and I met somebody who was in program. I had never heard about it. And I thought, well, I'm going to go and support this person. And I would go and I would sit in the back. I wouldn't talk. I didn't even connect myself to what everybody was saying. But I had, you know, I was a food addict. And then one day somebody came up to me and she said, oh, are you a food addict also? And then I thought, oh, gosh, yes, I am. So I stayed in that meeting, and there was a lot of recovery in the meeting. I would see people go from, you know, really bad situations to recovery. And people, you know, were getting recovery through all different means. And so I did that also, and I had a fly there. And I was very afraid of flying, but somehow I prayed, I guess, before and during the flight, and I felt like that fear being lifted. And that was, I think that was the beginning of my, it was like a spiritual awakening. And I've been up and down, in and out, for a lot of years, and you know, I always try my own willpower. So I'm back again, and I'm very grateful for these meetings because it really keeps me straight, so to speak, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So just very grateful. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your share, Susan. See? Okay. I think we have time for three more shares. So if you'd like to comment on page 47, the third paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute. And if you haven't shared in the last couple of days.
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G. Anybody after Vanessa?
Mary G.
Mary G. And one more. Well, let's go with Vanessa G. and Mary, and then we'll see how we are with time. It might be close. Okay.
Hey, everybody. So,
thank you, Vanessa.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This paragraph actually really resonates with me. I think I have a history that fits neatly in here. You know, I was raised in a family that it taught me to pray, went to school, you know, that taught me about, you know, a theological God. And I think I grew up with this idea about God that was going to grant me things, you know, grace me with blessings, I guess. And so I would pray in that way. And obviously, you know, I was disappointed over and over and again. And probably overall in life, you know, one of the, you know, I would pray for, you know, a better family life or, you know, a better body, you know, success with my weight, that type of thing. And over again, I was disappointed. And so for me, I think that this paragraph, you know, really fits, you know, this, I was presented with all this faith in other people, but it didn't work for me. And because I couldn't believe in it any longer. And I think there's a huge difference for me between faith and trust. And faith is something that you take a leap to. That, for me anyway, it's something that I don't necessarily have any experience or any evidence that it'll work. And that doesn't, for somehow it just doesn't compute in this brain. But trust is a completely different thing. Trust is something that happens as a result of my experience. It's earned in a way. I understand it to be there, that I can rely upon it, whatever it is that I'm trusting in. And that's exactly, I think, what the Big Book has brought to me, is an ability to trust because of what happens through the process of the steps. I've been able to pray, and I've been able to be granted strength and inspiration. And, you know, God does for me what I was never able to do for myself. You know, not only controlling my intake of substances that, you know, I was addicted to, but also this ability to become a better person, to act in a way that I always wanted to act, to actually have some integrity, to not be so dishonest, to be able to not be afraid, just to have the ability to do things that I wasn't able to do as a result of relying on a power greater than myself, as a result of trusting this process and finding a spiritual awakening at the end of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vanessa G. Mary G., you're up next, and I do believe we'll have time for one more share after her. Please share with us, Mary.
Hi, morning, everyone. This is Mary G., right outside Chicago. So reading this paragraph just gives me so much hope. I came into program with a faith. I wasn't, like, actively practicing, but I wasn't mad at God either. I had an indifference. I didn't really give God much thought. I was very young when I came into the rooms. I had just turned 21. And I looked at all the people in the meeting, and I kind of thought, like, well, if I believed like them, then I could have what they have. And then I remember one day it occurred to me, like, why can't I believe like them? Like, what's holding me back? There's nothing holding me back. I could have recovery. I deserve recovery. Why, they're no different than me. And from that little, I guess you could say, cornerstone of faith, over the years, the past 22 years, I have gradually found my faith. My concept of God has increased, and it wasn't sudden. Like I said, it took 22 years, but I find that I have a very good relationship today. So it's just this little bit that we need to start, and so much good could happen. So I find this paragraph to just be so hopeful. You know, God is just is big and is everywhere and loves us all. And I feel like the big book really lays this out to us in such a great way. Like, we cannot fail. They're giving, you know, the way he wrote this, we can't fail if we just follow the you know, the text. And there's so much hope. But again, it's going to take a lot of work. You know, I hate to sugarcoat it to any newcomers. It takes a lot of work. I do a lot of things today to maintain my program, but I also did a lot of things to maintain my addiction. And it's kind of like, what hell do you want to be in? And I'm not saying that my life right now is hell, but what hard, choose your hard. Today I'm choosing the difficultness of doing the things of my program, which isn't even, honestly, it becomes like routine and it's fine. There's hope out there for everyone. Just keep coming back. Thanks. I will pass.
Thanks so much, Mary G. Okay, we do have time for one more two-minute share. Would anybody like to take that?
Polly Q.
Polly Q, it's all yours. Please share with us.
Hi. You know, I've just loved to share today because it's been so, it's like it's been pieces of it. You know, pieces of the hell of it, the hope in it. But the truth of the matter is, I have to grow my program. That's really what it is. The food plan, yeah, okay. Yeah, I need all those tools. I need to, you know, the steps for me cannot be one and done. I am an addict of the hopeless variety. It cannot be one and done because I got this massive ego in my head that just wants to kill me. It doesn't even recognize me. It's just that voice that wants to kill me. Sometimes it has my mom's voice. Sometimes it has my husband's voice. Sometimes it's the person in the car up ahead of me that's not going fast enough or slow enough. I don't know what the heck, but I do know that that voice runs 24/7. And if I don't have a higher power, powerful enough to shut that voice down, then I am eventually going to eat. And so for me, I have got to work these steps every day. I have to work step 10 every day. And I'll tell you, I don't work step 10 every day. I get close, though. I'm about 5 or 6 days out of that week. If I'm not working step 10, which is steps 1 through 9 every day, those voices are going to win. Because they're the voice of the ego, which is the lower power, which is also talked about in the big book. So I got to have a higher power I turn to. And that's what step 10 is. When it's all done out in the ego, I say, hey, God, it's yours. You're going to have to take it from me. And without fail, it does. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Because that's just how stubborn and, full of my ego I can be. So, man, if your higher power isn't higher enough, make it higher enough. But if I don't let that higher power talk to me, then I am going to let that ego talk to me because I think it's me. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, Polly Q. Okay. We'll now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I will. This is Vanessa G., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.